Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game. Coming up in part of the Dog Report, what did Jason Hazelwood say? What did Jaden say that's got people fired up, man? I know a lot of people fired up in this room. I mean, in this building about this, that are dog fans. So we'll get into that, man. Hey, man, we got plenty to dive into with Mike Conte as well, in case you missed it. But we got plenty more NFL as well. I just cannot accept, Carl, that the Saints are going to be here in Mercedes-Benz. And that is perhaps why I am now embracing wholeheartedly the Rams. I've even ordered a Rams hat.
I'm with you. It's our worst nightmare here being in Atlanta to potentially have both teams, the Patriots and the Saints here, but obviously the Saints are worse. With that, we welcome in our guest. We get a chance to talk to Brian Billick on a regular on this show. He's NFL Network analyst now, obviously Super Bowl champion winning coach. And I want to start with Big Red, because Brian, we talked to you a few weeks ago, and you said, listen, you know, I take Big Red's career over my career, because people think, you know, winning the Super Bowl, he's had longevity, he's made a lot of money, you know, he's done all these great things, and here he is now hosting an AFC championship game. Have you had a chance to talk to Andy Reid? And if you have, what did you say to him? But more importantly, I think the Chiefs are ready for this moment.
Yeah, I think they are too. I haven't talked to Andy, but I'm excited for him. Obviously, it's an outstanding team. Young quarterback operating at a level that I don't think anybody could have imagined that he was going to have this kind of productivity. Fascinating matchup when you've got the old venerable Tom Brady coming into Kansas City against the young gun in Patrick Mahomes, and not unlike with Drew Brees, obviously going to get up against Jared Goff. So it's going to be a challenge for the Patriots. The weather's going to be a factor. The idea that they'll, which may suit them, you know, Brady wants to play small ball, high completion percentage. They ran the ball very well against the Chargers. Mahomes, big play, you know, mentality. It'll be interesting to see if the weather inhibits that at all, but it's a fascinating matchup. And I think Andy Reid's best opportunity to take a Super Bowl caliber team into Atlanta.
Hey, Brian, do you think that Damian Williams can do the same kind of thing he did this week against the Colts? Because, you know, as a running back, losing Kareem Hunt, you thought that'd be a real shock to their system, but the dude was money last week.
Yeah, I think all the teams that ran the ball so well, I think that was the most distinguishing factor of the teams that won. And it went according to chalk. I mean, you get excited about wild card weekend and, you know, teams like the Ravens and Chargers and Dallas is playing well, and boy, could they make a run. But here we are with the number one and two seeds, and likely in the favored teams are the number one seeds. But all of the teams, whether it's the Chiefs and, as you said, Damian Williams running for 129 yards, both C.J. Anderson and Gurley going for better than 100 yards, Sony Michel with the Patriots going for 129, and the Saints collectively running for 138. So in the age of wide-open football and great quarterback play, it's the running game of last weekend that I thought was the most notable.
It is Brian Billick, guys. Make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. We've talked about it a lot here on the program. And make sure you use the promo code Billick for $20 off your first purchase for seats at any event, guys, whether it's concerts, sporting events, it doesn't matter. Coach, as you look at, you know, the Patriots, and Mike and I have been talking a lot about this, and how Josh McDaniels continues to reinvent this offense and reinvent the Patriots, this is the brilliance of McDaniels, isn't it? Because it seems like every time you think you know what they're going to do, they do something completely different.
Well, I'd say on the defensive side as well, there's no team in the league that morphs itself situationally from one week to the next. You're exactly right. We've seen the Patriots on a given week decide they're going to run the ball 40 times, come hell or high water, and then the next week decide they're not going to run the ball at all because they feel like throwing the ball is the way to get it done. So the challenge for them, obviously, going against a high-flying offense like the Chiefs, is when the Chiefs have struggled is when you maintain possession of the ball. And that's exactly what the Patriots are going to have to do. Now, whether that means small ball, extended handoff, short passing game, Edelman, Gronk underneath, or whether it's a combination of that and obviously getting Sony Michel cranked up the way they did last week against the Chargers and continue to pound away. The Chargers deploy a smaller, more athletic defense, as does Kansas City. So I imagine that the Patriots, part of their game plan is going to be to think that they can run the ball on that smaller Kansas City defense.
It's only been one time in the last six games, as Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, only one of the last six where Jared Goff has gone over 300 yards passing. Is what's going on there? Is it some of the effects of Todd Gurley not being as effective late in the season? What's going on with the quarterback there?
Well, the game last week is a perfect example. It's all he needed to do. They were running the ball so effectively that Todd Gurley or Jared Goff, you obviously could see, was, okay, look, I'm going to take our shots, but I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to be too aggressive here. I certainly don't want to get a turnover or put it on a short field, because we're kind of in control of this game. In the way we're running the ball, their defense, I think Cowboys were 1 of 10 on third down. So their defense was doing the job. So I think it's less of a matter of Todd Gurley not playing, or excuse me, Jared Goff not playing as well or taking the shots as it was. Look, he did what he needed to do as the quarterback, playing within the flow of the game. Now obviously it's going to be a different game against the Saints. It's apt to be a high-scoring affair. He's going to have to crank it up, just like, you know, we talked about. They're going to have to run the ball better. The previous game, those were the three areas. Clearly, I'm talking about the previous game between New Orleans and the Rams in a 45-35 win by New Orleans. The three areas were red zone, where New Orleans was 5-for-5. The Rams were 3-for-5. On third down, New Orleans was 7-of-12. The Rams were 3-of-8. And then rushing, the Saints ran for better than 140 yards. The Rams were under 100. So those three areas are going to have to change. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns in New Orleans against the Saints. You're going to have to convert better on third down to keep the drives alive. And certainly part of that is going to be running the ball better than they did.
Brian Moore, playoff conversation questions for you, but I want to bring it home here to Atlanta and ask you about our new offensive coordinator, which is our old offensive coordinator, in Dirk Cutter. And the hire of Cutter, Mike Mularkey as our tight ends coach, the offensive brain power that I think Dan Quinn went out and acquired versus what we currently had or recently had with Steve Sarkisian. And it's not a knock on Sark. He just had never called plays in the NFL. And, you know, after two seasons, he's moving on. But what do you think about what Dan Quinn did here with the offensive hires?
Yeah, brilliant. You got two coordinator-level coaches that are going to work in combination, certainly with the lead of Dirk Cutter, who've got familiarity with Matt Ryan. I mean, I can't imagine you having a better scenario than that, and getting them back to the things that when they were dominant and making their way into Super Bowls.
You know, we just want to get the points, man. We just got to score some points and run the ball. How tough is it going to be for us to find two guards and a tackle with limited cap space and the draft being a real crapshoot with O-line in the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a challenge, you know, obviously. But you can see, they use the analogy, look at what happened in Indianapolis. They spent the last couple of years expending those resources, primarily out of the draft, some free agency, and building that offensive line. And look what that did for Andrew Luck in terms of the pressure that he was not under, the way he was able to perform. So, yeah, maybe you can't do it all in one year, but you clearly got to get started.
It is Brian Billick, guys, joining us, NFL Network analyst. We got the championship games this weekend. Brian, you're a Super Bowl team. You stopped the run, and you ran the football. And, you know, we say the NFL is changing. It's a passing league. You watch these games this weekend, and that's what these games were really about. And I'm just taking you back to your teams, and I know that's always kind of been a philosophy. If you're picking one team this weekend, what team does that best? What is the best run and stop the run football team?
Well, you look at the Rams and the Saints. They're the highest-rated offense, defense combined. Mm. Obviously, and so they're capable of doing both. The Saints have proved very good at stopping the run. They're going to be challenged because these are two teams that can really run the ball very, very well. Of the two in the AFC, you know, again, Kansas City has had its troubles with that. So you've got to believe that the Patriots believe they can go in and run. But at the end of the day, obviously the importance of defense running the ball. But the difference being also compared to when we won our championship, taking nothing away from it, right, we were kind of in a void with our championship the next year with the Patriots and the year after that with Tampa, or maybe it was Tampa and New England. But those 3 years where you had really dominant defenses winning, you know, paving the way to the Super Bowl, we were kind of a void of the great quarterback play. We were transitioning from the Marinos and the Montanas and the Youngs and the Aikmans and that like. And we had not yet fully come into the Peyton Mannings and then Drew Breeses and Brady's and the like of it in terms of where they were playing. That's not the case now. As good as these, some of these defenses are in the run of the ball, you've got, you know, you're talking about two Hall of Famers for sure, right, in Brady and Breeze, in terms of great quarterback. And then these two young quarterbacks that look like they're going to be pretty darn good, and certainly have that kind of potential. So you've got really first-rate quarterback play to go with those defenses in the running game.
Injuries are always a part of the postseason, how you can manage it. As Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, if we're talking about run stopping, Sheldon Rankins was part of that big draft class that really got New Orleans back on the defensive side. Things are cooking. He's out. So they go and pick up somebody as a free agent. I mean, how big will that be, and how can the Rams exploit that?
Yeah, that is huge, because obviously you work from the inside out, and that's going to be the strength of your defense, particularly against the run. So to not have Sheldon Rankins should make a difference. Now, again, the defense is playing very, very well. The thing I saw against the Rams when I went back and looked at the New Orleans film versus what happened last week with Dallas, Dallas seemed to be hesitant because of the Rams. Of course, it's up-tempo, no huddle. They run, kind of fake the jet sweep or the ghost sweep on every play to get, Dallas looked a little frozen, like they weren't unsure and who was to do what and who had inside, who had outside, and got gashed. New Orleans, when they played them, you could see everybody did their job. If you were supposed to stop the inside, you took care of the inside, and the outside, somebody else's problem. Or if I'm supposed to account for the jet sweep, I'm not going to worry about it on the inside. Everybody's got to do their job against this multiple running attack of the Rams, and they looked like they did a good job of it, and I'm sure they'll want to pick up with that. But not having Rankins in the middle will make a difference.
Coach, last thing, we've seen a lot of teams go with young head coaches, some with no NFL experience. Take us behind the curtain in how you select a staff when you really have no NFL experience. A lot of times when you've been in the league, guys know your work, they know who you are. How does a Cliff Kingsbury come in with no NFL head coaching experience and go get a reliable staff? How does that work?
Well, I think you heard in his interview, he's going to rely on Steve Keim to put the staff together to a large degree. I mean, a lot of these young coaches – I mean, this is neither good nor bad. I don't say this as a negative. It's become a general manager's league. And and they're all looking for the next Sean McVay and Matt Nagy, bringing that quarterback whisperer. It's almost like, look, don't worry about the cap. Don't worry about personnel. You don't worry about anything. We're going to lock in your office, shove your meals under the door, and you come out with these great offensive game plans. And that's what they're looking for right now. Good, not good or bad. It just is. Right. And you see in a lot of instances where it's the general manager that's has a major impact in terms of putting staffs together. And as a coach, that's something that I'm not comfortable with. But that's where we are right now. And in the case of Cliff Kingsbury, absolutely, having no experience in the NFL per se, particularly from the coaching standpoint, he's going to rely very heavily on the general manager to put that together.
Yeah, man, it's a young whippersnapper league now, man. It's a different world in the NFL. Has it always been copycat like this, though?
Well, yeah, whatever's worked. I mean, and what will happen is, as typical with any coaching cycle, where it's, for a while we go through coaches that have been head coaches before, and then we go through the coordinator route, then we go through maybe the college route a little bit. And the normal success ratio in the NFL for coaching hires is usually about 1 in 4, 1 in 5. So when you in this cycle, and some of these young coaches, some will do well, some won't, and so you'll see that pendulum kind of swing back the other way.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Coach, for jumping on with us. Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst, guys. You're coming to Super Bowl, right? We'll see you here.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.